Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, you know, it's not snowing, sleeting, pelting, ice. It's great this Sunday. We are continuing our Foundations series here today. I don't have any sword today. As Pastor Josh had a big old sword, awesome sword last week. We're in our Foundation series, which are key to laying healthy foundations for our spiritual health, things that we need to come back to over and over again. And so far this series, we've talked about the importance of prayer, the importance of understanding and applying the Bible into your everyday life, and the clear need for people that are spiritually captive to be rescued by Jesus and for us to be part of that rescue mission. So we've talked about that so far in this series. Next week, we kick off a financial health series that you'll want to make sure that you're out for. There's a lot of mistakes that people make financially, spiritually, and there's a lot of decisions they could be making that would really assist them. So we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. But today I want to talk about one of the foundational elements, which is a segment of worship called praise. There's a lot of different ways that one can worship, which is giving honor and esteem to God. And one of those ways is praise. Praise is something that you articulate with. It can be a song, it could be a prayer, it could be a shout, it could be an applause, it could be a dance, it could be some type of artistic expression that could be seen or heard. The truth is, you can worship God quietly, but you cannot praise God quietly. There's a difference, okay? There's lots of ways you can worship God, okay? And a lot of them are very quiet. But when it comes to praising God, it is going to have a different element to it. It'll either be able to be heard or seen, okay? So we're going to talk about praise and why it's so important for our faith and as a foundational element. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we're gonna learn something really important. What's happening is there's a temple that has just been completed, just finished, and it's being dedicated. And it took a long time for this temple to be built in Jerusalem. And once it was built, it says in verse 13, the trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise. Somebody say praise.
Praise.
And thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good and His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priest could not perform the services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Now this was not like the smoke from the fire got out of control. A kind of cloud. This was not the fog came in and it came into the building kind of a cloud. This was the presence of God so thick, so heavy in the room that people could not perform their normal tasks. Today, I want to talk to you about this kind of presence of God and how praise invites the presence of God. I want you to begin by recognizing this. Proper preparation prior to praise is absolutely essential. Proper preparation prior to praise. Now, you can say that three times fast if you want. Proper preparation prior to praise. Now, here's what I want you to notice that you may not have seen from the passage we just read. First off, people came prepared. Trumpeters came. Singers came. They joined in unison. They were accompanied by cymbals and other instruments. They came prepared to praise God. And because they came prepared, God showed up. Because they came prepared, God showed up. Think about this. It took years to build the temple. Years. It didn't take 3 weeks. It didn't take 3 months. It took years to build the temple of God. At least 20 years, maybe even 40 years. They spent a long time preparing. And because they prepared well, God showed up. If you want to praise God in a manner that invites the presence of God into your life, into your space, it is going to take some preparation on your part. Let me give you an example. Our worship teams in Lynn and Revere, they get together to practice at their sites every Thursday night to practice. Our worship director prepares and plans during the week or month, and our team leaders prepare and plan throughout the week. There is prayer involved, there is planning, there is dreaming time, there's listening to God, there's creating, writing songs, there's creating even spreadsheets to the glory of God, spreadsheets, lists, and some of you are like, woo, I just got all the Holy Spirit bumps on me or something. And there's a printing of those sheets. The media team is working on the sound system, and setting up the visual part of our praise. The worship team doesn't just show up on Sunday 5 minutes before the service and say, hey, what are we going to jam to today? That's not what happens. There's a lot of prior preparation. Because they have properly prepared prior to praise, every single week we have an opportunity for God to show up with us. Because there has been preparation. We have the opportunity to be led into praise. The opportunity. Now, in order to be led into praise, you have to be willing to be led. You understand that? Like, just because you're in the room doesn't mean you're willing to be led. It doesn't. If you're in the room and willing to be led into praise, you can be led into praise. If you're in the room and not being willing to be led into praise, you're just listening to songs. And I'm not sure that any of us have enough time in life to go someplace and just listen to songs. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I do. I don't have enough time for that. If I'm going to do something, I want it to be significant. Let me give you an example of being led. Just a personal kind of confession and part of my journey. Whenever I would go to places where worship and praise was happening, and I've done this for a long time now, people would say, the worship leaders would get up and say, hey, let's clap our hands. Let's give a shout of praise. And I would think in my head, this is what I would think in my head, and I'm sorry, but this is really what I would think. I would think, seriously? You need to tell me what to do right now? Why are you telling me what to do? I get all ghetto on them in my head. I would think in my head, I will praise when I am ready to praise. And I can praise better than you. This was going all in my head. Besides, I know how to do this. You know, I would have this kind of attitude. And then a few years ago, I felt the Spirit of God check me. And it's not awesome to be checked by the Holy Spirit. And I felt like I was being told, son, you need to check yourself because I have rocks praising more than you. And so I did. I checked myself. And I found that I was wanting. I found that I was missing out. I realized that there was an arrogant thread. There was a definite unleadability. And I also found out that I was just fundamentally missing out on the privilege of praising God. I wasn't blessing God the way that He should be. And I was also missing out on any blessings that praise would bring me. And there was just a moment. And I made a decision. I'm going to let myself be led into praise. So if somebody said, hey, let's come forward right now and praise God, I would start rushing up to the altar as soon as they said it. If the worship leader said, let's clap, I would clap louder than anybody else. And the person that was trying to outclap me, I would clap louder. If they said, let's jump, I'm like, woohoo, jumping time, jumping time. I start to jump. And if they said dance, I'm like, watch out, people, it's about to get real in here. They say, lift up your hands. My hands go up. And if they said, let's give a shout, I would start shouting praises to God before they were finished saying it, because I knew what they were getting ready to say. And can I tell you, from that moment on, I started from that moment that I started letting myself be led into praise, I experienced a breakthrough in my life. Something in my spirit broke loose in a good way. And from that moment till this moment, I have experienced a next level of freedom in my spirit. You see, most of my time with Jesus, most of my walk with Jesus, I've hung out with the serious Jesus people, like the serious people. I'm kind of a serious person. And the serious people in the room, that's who I'd go hang out with, the serious people. I stayed away from the crazy Jesus people. Now when I go into a room, I see the serious Jesus people and I see the crazy Jesus people. And I'm like hiding from the serious Jesus people now, heading over to the crazy Jesus people because they're just a whole lot more fun. All right. They get this a little on a different level. And the truth is because I've become one of those crazy Jesus people. And the reality for me was I just had to decide, am I going to go all in with this or not? And I think for all of us, there's a moment when you decide, I'm either going to go all in with praising God or I'm not. I'm going to let myself be led or I'm not. But if you want to experience the presence of God in a different level on these days that we have set aside as holy, the day that we call Sunday, that requires in our life a significant amount of preparation. And so I want to challenge you to properly prepare personally prior to praise. Properly prepare personally prior to praise. You don't know how hard it is to come up with all these P words, I know. The proper preparation requires more than just showing up. You see, showing up is a big part of the battle. You just keep showing up, keep coming, keep showing up, keep showing up. That is definitely part of it, but you get more out of it if you come ready. And so when you get ready and you show up ready, you kind of walk into church with an attitude. An attitude that says, I'm about to meet with the maker of the universe. Me and my peeps, we're about to give the devil a heart attack. You know, that's a kind of a come on moment. The truth is, every time East Coast International Church has a service where we worship God, there are demons all over the place having little heart attacks because they never thought you would be at risk of being a Jesus person. And that's a big deal. So I would encourage you to do something. I would encourage you before you come into this place to have mentally prepared yourself. Start the day before. The day before, on Saturday, begin to prepare yourself to go to praise God together. Now, you can praise God every day of the week, but you can't praise God every day of the week together. This is what's special about it. Spiritually prepare yourself to fight off the devil who will try to do anything to derail your sacred day. If this is your sacred day, the devil is going to try to get you off track. You will be sick so many times. You will wake up with a sore throat. You'll be coughing, hacking up. I've just decided I'm just taking a cough drop. You know, I'm just going to go to church, be sick. I won't pray for people or touch them that day. I don't want to infect them, but I'm still going. I'll drink a bunch of tea. You know, I will. Why? Because I'm not going to let the devil derail sacred days in my life. It's very important that you recognize that's what's happening. There's also, these are the days when your car breaks down, you just got to decide, hey, I'm walking. Or I'm going to grab an Uber. If you're the Uber driver and your car breaks down, that's even more complicated, I know. That happened to me before. My Uber driver broke down. But there's this attack that's taking place to kind of derail you off the sacred day. I would also encourage you to prepare yourself relationally. If you are not right with somebody you need to be right with, it's very hard to praise God with any level of integrity. So I would encourage you to make things right relationally. Relationally prepare yourself. In fact, the scripture tells us that, you know, before you get to get to go talk to God. You need to go take care of things and make things right. If you have kids, I know that it takes a little bit longer to get to church. Because not just, you know, all the getting ready stuff, getting them in the car and all these kind of things, but also getting them checked in. You know, you're supposed to take them upstairs, get them all checked in so they can be safe and secure and we can take care of them. That doesn't just take 30 seconds. That takes a little bit of time. And so, if you come and you're prepared and you have that yourself set up with the time and everything you need, that way you're not rushing around, you know, all chaotic. I'm always amazed at how many distractions will take place in people's life on Sunday. All day long, people are coming to church 45 minutes late, not getting ready for the next service. It's just there were so many distractions up to that point that it makes it difficult. So you have to be prepared to deal with those distractions. I'd encourage you not to rush around early on Sunday morning trying to run all kinds of errands. And for this service in particular, for the 12:30 service, it's very difficult to not try to do a whole bunch of stuff before. And the point here is that when you do, what takes place is your mind begins to shift off of what the day is about. The day is a sacred day. The day is a restful day. This is a day for extraordinary things, not for ordinary things. Set the day aside as restful and sacred. But I assure you, it will only be restful and sacred if you prepare for it. You don't just have a restful and sacred day. You have to be ready for that day. You have to make that day happen. You have to prepare for that day. People don't go to bed at night saying, "Wow, what a restful and sacred day. I had no idea that was happening." No, you have to do that. You have to set it aside. In other words, you've got to come with your game face on. Game face on. Not like the New England Patriots last year in the Super Bowl with their game face off. Okay? You've got to be with the game on. Because Sundays is for celebrating. And Sundays are for kicking Satan's butt out of the territory that belongs to you. That's what it's for. And we do that together. I can see that some of you are listening. You've got to be prepared properly to praise. You really do. Verse 14 of that passage says that for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. This idea lets us know that praise invites the presence of God into your life and into the moment. This glory of the Lord moment at the temple, this cloud moment, is called the Shekinah glory. It's a fancy words that we have for it. It's called the Shekinah glory. It means God's manifest presence. The way that we say it today is God showed up. You know, it's just when God shows up, really shows up. The glory of God. And it's linked with people praising him. Watch this very carefully. It says, it was not until the temple was completed that God showed up. It was not until the temple had been properly furnished and prepared. Kind of a little side note there. It was not until the people showed up in unity. It was not until the singers came prepared to sing. It was not until the instruments came prepared to play. It was not until the people praised that the glory of God showed up. All of those things took place prior to the glory of God showing up. Psalm 22 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." This is the idea that God dwells in the praises of his people. And when the children of God get together and praise God, God is present amongst them. Now the truth is, God is present with all his children all the time. But there's a whole different level when his children come together, prepared and on purpose to declare, "He is good and his love endures forever." When you come prepared, ready to go. Because praise invites the presence of God into your life, into every situation, and the situation of those around you. Praise does something else. It sets you up for victory. Somebody say victory. Victory. Now, hopefully, you've experienced victory in your life. But if you have never experienced victory in your life, one of the ways you get victory is through praise. It's through inviting the presence of God in. the people of God were being attacked by wicked enemies. And God told them that they should not physically fight them. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And so they're not going to physically fight them, but that they should simply stand firm. And that God would take care of the details. Watch what happens, verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever." Verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. These are the enemies who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. What a fascinating situation. They're getting ready to attack Jerusalem, kill the Israelites. The Israelites simply stand and praise God. And all of a sudden, the enemies start to beat each other up. They start to kill each other. They start to destroy each other instead of the Israelites. It's because of this moment, it says, as they began to sing and praise. On this occasion, praise became the song of the supernatural. They gave praise to God in the middle of the battle. They were in the middle of a fight. People are trying to take their lives. And what do? They sing and they praise. And it says that God ambushed the enemies and the enemies destroyed each other. If you need victory in any area of your life, if you've got a mountain that you cannot figure out how to overcome, instead of focusing all the time on the situations, instead of focusing on the mountain and how tall it is and how wide it is and how steep it is, instead of focusing there, just start to praise God. Because God inhabits praise. If you're thinking to yourself, "I am never going to beat this. I'm never going to overcome this. It's too great of a challenge." That's exactly the moment that you need to stop and praise God. If you're about to make a bad decision, and you know it's a bad decision, you just can't figure a way out of it, stop and praise God. And just keep praising. It's not just like a quick, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." It's a serious praise. And you just begin to praise God. If you're thinking to yourself, I just keep messing up. I keep doing the things that I said I would never do again. That's when you stop and you praise God. As you begin to praise God, watch as God ambushes those who oppose you. As the enemy is attacking you, as the enemy is coming against you, when you stop and praise God, it allows God to do the battling for you. Psalm 149, verses 6 and 8 say, "May the praise of God be in their mouths, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron." Here we see that the praise of God on our mouth binds the enemies in chains. Our enemies are bound in chains when we begin to praise God. And so here's how this goes. If you are being opposed, if you're trying to do the right thing, if you're trying to follow God and you are being opposed, it's time to praise God. That's when you do it. That's when you praise God. Praise is the greatest of ways to resist the devil. The devil's most common method of attack, most common methods of attack are to bring discouragement, negativity, hopelessness and despair into your life. The enemy will try to speak death and lies into your mind. Tries to paralyze you from within. The enemy tries to get you distracted with all the drama to get your eyes off of God. If that sounds familiar to you, if you're like, "Oh yeah, that happens to me," If that sounds familiar to you, if it's like I'm reading your mail right now or looking at your Facebook posts, if you see that strategy of the devil in your life, then the best way to deal with the devil is to simply start praising God. You just start praising God. It might be counterintuitive, but that's how you fight. You focus your eyes on the greatness and goodness of God. You begin to declare His praises, saying He is good and His love endures forever and ever and ever and ever for me. You sing and you shout about His love and His faithfulness and His goodness and His mighty power. And you will in that moment begin to watch as the enemy flees from your life. His power of discouragement, His lies are broken in that moment. Discouragement starts to melt away as together we lift up the praises of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Praise has a way of lifting weight off of your shoulders. It unburdens you. Isaiah 61 says a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's like a trade. No longer do you have the desperation. You have praise instead. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer here? As we close. Now, I just want you to notice something as you're standing. You stood because I asked you to stand. You allowed yourself to be led. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. But there's these moments when we're about to enter into very real spiritual combat that there's a pushback. If you love God and you want to praise God and somebody says, hey, let's praise God, and in your head you're like, why are you telling me what to do? There's a reason. You're getting pushback from the enemy. So let me talk about these three things. Today, maybe you recognize, oh, I have not properly prioritized my life. There's some things I need to reprioritize in order to be prepared. In order to be prepared to praise. I need to take care of a few things. Maybe there's some things you can tweak, just getting ready. Those would be some things to talk to God about today. If you're here today and you need victory, though, remember this. No matter what it is you're facing, no matter what the challenge, no matter how much of it's your fault or how much of it's somebody else's fault, remember there is no chain, no brokenness, no confusion that the power of God can't simply break off of your life. That starts to take place through praising God. If you're here today and you just need God to show up, you're not sure where He's been, if you've been walking through this life feeling mostly like a zombie, not quite understanding how you're even going to make it through the day or the week, I want you to know this. The power of God is a resurrecting power, and the power of God can bring you back to life. The power of God can breathe new life into you. The power of God can bring you all the way home to where you need to be. Maybe you just need God to show up today. Maybe you need victory in your life today. Maybe you've just been taking this all for granted and you haven't been preparing. Whatever it is, today's a day just to give it to God. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in this today. Why don't you join with us as we praise God here?
God, You are good. Your love endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever for each and every one of us. God, in the midst of the battle right now, for so many that are in the midst of the battle right now, just as they lift up a voice of praise, as they as they call out to you in praise. God, would you go before them and fight their battles? Would you turn their enemies against each other? As they begin to praise, as they begin to set up an attitude of praise in their everyday life, and as we come together prepared to do battle each and every week. And I pray for victory in each life today. I pray for deliverance in each life. Would you just breathe life back into people? Would you breathe hope into people today? Today I thank you, praise you that you are more than we could have ever imagined. You are everything we hoped you would be and more. You not only set us free, but you walk with us, you talk with us, you counsel us. You offer to lead us. Help us to follow well as you lead. And help us, each and every one, to lay this foundation of praise in our life. Just a constant thread through our life that we praise you. Because you are worthy of all the glory and of all the honor and of all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. God bless you guys. All right. Come ready. Come prepared properly, personally. I forgot all my P's. We're going to come prepared next week. Give somebody a high five on your way out today.